You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. And just an announcement, we are on a summer schedule, so we will not be having a show Friday afternoon, and the next show will be given Monday. Normally we have Monday through Friday shows, but during the summer, the studio is closed tight on Friday, even though I'd like to give a Friday show. I'm going to discuss and give you my predictions as to what's going to happen. The House of Representatives is considering a immigration bill, actually two bills. One is supported by conservatives. The other is supported by moderates. Now, I'm not a fan of House Speaker Paul Ryan. I wish him well in his retirement. I'm sure he'll make some money. He's been a creature of K Street, the lobbyist. He's part of the problem, not part of the solution. So the sooner he retires, the better. But the Republicans have a problem. And you look at it, and I've said this many times, and I'll give another plug to Conservative Review. What I recommend people do, I don't know who your congressman or senator is, but if you're interested in getting the opinion and the score on your congressman and senator from a conservative point of view, then go to Conservative Review. You can look up your representative or your senators. And that's important because many people make the mistake. I don't, because I have been initially I was a very much a Goldwater conservative, a traditional conservative, and think of Russell Kirk when I'm saying that. But over the years, and it didn't take me that long, I became very much for limited government. I consider my philosophy has always been that of a classical liberal. I believe in much limited government. And after the Cold War was over, we had an opportunity to dramatically downsize. We did. But that didn't stop the trend of more and more government as the scope, the size, the role of the government just kept on expanding. So in my mind, neither political party are conservative in the sense that I view myself, namely for balanced budgets, for fiscal responsibility, for a strong defense, but not a militaristic, large military to intervene in country after country. And part of our deficits is the results of that intervention and the cost of intervening. But we also have the growth of the welfare state. I don't like that term. I really think it's more the warfare and welfare state. And I know some people get confused when I say state. I'm not talking about state governments. Some people use government and state interchangeably. And you can make a distinction, a sharp distinction between the two. I'm not. I will use them interchangeably. And the state it's huge. It's Leviathan, to use a description of a philosopher Hobbes. I believe it could easily be cut in half, but we don't have the leadership today, and more important, we don't have a political party. My point being, the Republican Party has never been a conservative party. It certainly has never been a libertarian party. Both the Democrat and Republican Party are big government parties, and that's why I urge you to check the score or the letter grade of your congressmen and senators, because if you'll do, you'll find that many of these people that want to give you the impression that they're a conservative, some even for limited government, when you actually look at their score, they're either C, D, or F. The worst ones are the D's and F's, and usually the leadership both in the House and the Senate are D's and F's. So the challenge is, how do you get true conservatives or true libertarians or true classical liberals elected to Congress? And it's not hard. It is hard, but one of the challenges is people, especially when they're trying to get elected the first time, whether it's to the House or the Senate, will talk a very good game. They really talk like they're conservatives. And you're impressed with them and vote for them, and then you find out sometimes sooner rather than later that they were lying to you. And that's why I don't trust, in general, I'm like everyone else, the people don't trust the politicians today. And I certainly do not trust Democrats or Republicans today. There are differences between the two, but I gave up on the Republican Party 10 years ago. I was challenged by someone that said, look at how much government spending the Republicans are doing. And the gentleman was perfectly right. And at that point, I said, enough is enough. In my entire lifetime, the only real conservative limited government president, and he wasn't perfect, was Ronald Reagan. What has the Republican Party given us in presidential candidates? Most of them are, in my mind, left of center or centrist. They're certainly not A or B Republicans. They're mostly D's and F's. And what happens is they have a nice little game going, but they cut deals with the Democrats. Government spending is out of control. So I decided that I'm no longer voting Democrat or Republican. I'm not going to waste my time because I never get the results I'm expecting. Now, I will say this. I didn't vote for Trump. I don't trust Trump. But he's delivered more in his limited time as president than most conservatives have. So I'm very impressed with the results. See, I'm very much results-oriented. Good intentions are not enough. Promises are not enough. Talk is not enough. Even bills, especially when you look at the details, are not enough. Are they delivering on what most people would say, what I would say, is limited government? Do they really respect the fact that it's the hard-earned money of the American citizens that are paying the bills? But we've long passed that point. We have what I call spending addiction disorder. Both parties are spending money that the American people don't have. So how do they pay the bills? They have to borrow. And they keep on borrowing, borrowing, and borrowing. And this is a bad, very bad habit. And as a result, we run massive deficits, and there's no end to it. We pay for a tax cut by running a higher deficit, which means we borrow money. It has to stop. But I'm convinced that neither the Democrats are a lost cause. They're never going to stop it. But so are the Republicans. I made a point, and I'm waiting to see what, if anything, is done, that the federal government needs to permanently shut down 8 departments. I mean shut down. Not merge them, not reorganize, shut down departments. Are there some, let's say, activities that we should keep? I would say yes. Let's take, for example, the Commerce Department and the Department of Labor. I would have a Office of Information and Statistics, and I would keep some of the activities of the Department of Labor and Department of Commerce in generating economic statistics that benefit the entire economy and industry as well as individuals. You need information to make decisions. So there's a lot of information that the government produces that truly the private sector either won't produce or it's a lot limited because of the resources. But there are activities of all these departments, and I'll name the 8 that I would shut down. Agriculture, definitely. Commerce and labor. I would merge the data with, have it downgraded to not a cabinet position, but like the Office of Management and Budget. You'll have the Office of Information and Statistics. That's not going to save a lot of money, but there's still activities in all these departments. I'm not going to go through every department. I'm just giving you my list of 8. Education, Energy, Department of Interior, Department of Housing and Urban Development, Department of Transportation. I'm always miss one. Now, who would I keep for sure? definitely the Department of Defense, and that is the primary responsibility of the federal government, namely to defend the people and the property of the United States of America against our enemies. What's not the responsibility of the federal government is to intervene in country after country after country. I believe in minding your own business. Only to the extent that we're threatened by, we're attacked, and where Congress formally declares war, should we be intervening. Remember, the power to declare war was specifically given to Congress for the simple reason they understood that if they left it in the executive's hands, what would happen? You would have presidents engaging in warfare with other nations. And that's exactly what's happened. So our founding fathers were prudent in doing this, but the key is, how many interventions have been declared wars? None. Now, you can make a case some of them had authorization from Congress. But many times, Congress was misled by presidents, such as in the Vietnam War with President Johnson. So we need to get back to the principles that this nation was founded on, and one being all wars need to be declared, and the size, the scope, and the role of government should be limited. For many, many years, the federal government, as a percentage of the economy, was about 3% or less. But there's been a general trend over many decades of more and more centralization in Washington. And after war after war after war, what has happened? We have a giant military, and we spend a lot of money on weapon systems. And think about it, how many nations truly could attack us? Who were we preparing war for? Well, what we're really preparing for is to intervene in country after country. And that is very much, in my mind, changing the United States of America from a Republican form of government to an imperial or empire. And that's part of the problem. That's why I call it the warfare and welfare state. So when you look at warfare, that's been a major reason for the expansion of government and more spending. But in addition to that, you have to look to the welfare part of it. And you have two major categories. You have entitlements, where it's a pay-as-you-go system where people contribute or pay in. And that's your Social Security and Medicare. And then you have the welfare, where transfer payments, money going from some taxpayers into the pockets of people that, now some are truly needy, but many simply aren't. So you need to downsize, first of all, welfare programs. The goal should be to eliminate them. I don't think you're ever going to do that, but that should be the goal. And you need to encourage savings and investment by individuals. But today, since so much of a person's money is, before I ever sees the paycheck, is sent to Washington, and part of it, that some people are fooled by this. You know, they say, well, you contributed so much to Social Security and Medicare, and your employer did. Well, the employer, if he hadn't, was not on the hook for sending it in, could have given you more money. And one of the problems faced by American people is the ability to save and invest. Now, some people are responsible, disciplined, and do that. Others aren't. But I know if I had taken all the money, Social Security, my half as well as the employer's half, and invested, I'd be many times better off. Now, that's me. Many people don't know how to invest their money. And we've got the big problem is, and both parties are fostering this, is dependence on the federal government. And the scope of society has gotten narrower and narrower as more of what society in the past used to do, what individuals used to do, is now done by the government. So both political parties are, the general category is, they're collectivist. And they believe in a large state, a centralized state, and they want you dependent on them. Now, I call it Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. And that's been successful. So I've given up on Democrats and Republicans. They're both big government parties, and if you continue to vote for them, eventually this country goes under, because you can't continue doing what we're doing very much longer. How long? I don't know. I really don't. And the problem with, and that's why I don't do economic forecasts or predictions, and the problem you get into if you want to play that game, and I heard someone that was in the game say, predict often. Well, I don't predict that often. I've tried to stop it. But sometime between now and 2040, I think sooner rather than later, this intergenerational Ponzi game ends. And what I mean by that is the early beneficiaries of both Social Security and Medicare benefited. That included my grandparents and my parents, that generation. I will probably be, I'm in the baby boom generation. The baby boom generation will probably be the last generation that truly benefits from it. And the reason is this. We're heading right now, if you look at just the national debt, around $21 trillion. But the unfunded liabilities, depending on what assumptions you want to make, are anywhere on the low end. I don't believe the low end numbers, by the way, but $100 trillion to over $200 trillion. So that's 10 times what we produce in a year. And that's more, the 200 trillion number is more than the entire world produces in a year. That's how out of control it is. Now, what does it mean when we say unfunded? They're obligations, liabilities that the federal government has to who? The people that are paying today Social Security and Medicare. But they didn't invest the money. They spent the money. This has been going on for decades. That's the dirty little secret. All that's in the so-called trust fund, and for all practical purposes, not a trust fund, is IOUs. And how are they going to pay for the shortfall? Taxes? We'll pay part of it. But the shortfall, they have to borrow the money. And that's what they're doing right now. It's going to get worse, worse, and worse. I give you this background because although I want to focus on immigration, leadership is fundamentally the problem. And it's by far the biggest deficit. If you think the answer is continue to vote Democrat and Republican, nothing fundamentally is going to change. Because many of the Republicans you elect are going to sell you out. Many, the people integrity, will go there. And in a period of time, they learn one thing. They actually learn several things. So if they want to get ahead, they got to go along with the leadership. And to the extent they do that, they'll sell you out. To the extent they have integrity and understand what's going on, most of them will retire, not after 10 years, soon. That's a shame, but they retire because the problem is both parties. You know, someone, I think I might have went over this once on one of the shows. One of the students here asked me, have you ever considered running for Congress? I said, no. Now, I didn't get into why, but the why was I couldn't run as a Democrat, and today I couldn't run as a Republican because they don't reflect my political philosophy. I don't want to be associated with them, and they're failing. They want to give you the impression that they know what's going on, they're good intentions, they're competent. They're not. You know, it's always been a question, why do the worst rise to the top in the sense of become the president or the senators or the representatives? Well, the answer is you elected them. So I stop electing these guys. Does that mean they're not a few good people? Yes, there are always a few good people. But many of them have gone home. That's why I'm for strict limits and terms. Now, I've of the opinion, although I can be convinced that it should be shorter, that the max in the House should be 10 years, which is 5 terms, and the max in the Senate should be 2 terms. Is that going to happen? No, it's not. I can talk about it, but that's my frustration. Nothing really seems to be happening. Call it gridlock. Call it divided government. I call it big government. And once you're in this mess, the temptation is support the status quo. Now, what happened? It's a so-called conservative version of immigration reform, the Goodlatte bill. And he's retiring, by the way. I wonder why. He is retiring. It got 193 votes. 41 Republicans voted against it. Now, I can see why. I'm not being critical of the ones against it. But you needed 218 to pass it. And I can see to make compromises to the extent that you could get full funding for the President Trump's wall, the big, beautiful wall. I rather call it the big, beautiful barrier, but what's in a name? So they had to regroup. Their plan B was the moderate bill. I want to say I couldn't support either one. I definitely can't support the moderate bill because it still has chain migration, and that's part of the problem. You need to go strictly merit and get rid of chain migration. I'm not going to get into chain migration other than the families of people that have citizenship can then bring their family members in, and that's not doing justice to it. That needs to stop. It should be strictly merit. And that, I think, is the reason many conservatives that either voted nay or yay on this bill won't support a second bill. Now, I can be surprised, but I don't think so. The other part of the problem is this wasn't really regular order. A lot of this is done by a few people in a closed room. Now, that's an efficient way to do, but that doesn't get the support. And you need a what they call whip it. And what I'm hearing from people that are there, this bill was simply not adequately whipped. Didn't surprise me. I think Paul Ryan wants the second bill. I think Congress is wasting its time. Because even if the House could pass something, get to 218, and that means how many more votes? Well, you do the math. 218 minus 193. So, yeah, 25 votes. That's 25 votes of the 41. Could they maybe get 25 out of 41? Well, it's too late now because the bill went down to defeat. Democratic Party unanimously went against it. 190 went against it. Three didn't vote. They're probably out of town, whatever. So the final tally was 193 for it and 231 against it, of which 41 were Republicans. Do I think they're going to pass the moderate bill? I don't think so. And here is the kicker. What's the point of this exercise? I kept saying, to get a bill signed by President Trump, the Senate needs to pass a bill, and they can't. They only have 51 votes. They need 60. And the Democrats are definitely making immigration an issue. Now, I think they're making a mistake, a big mistake. What's going on? And the more they do this, they're digging a hole and they're digging faster and faster. What am I talking about? What are you hearing on the news? Now, you are hearing from big lie media. They all hate Trump. So they're using anything and everything to smear Trump. And the people are getting sick of it, especially when they see that Trump is, in terms of the economy at least, and taxes, doing what they want. Not enough of it. It's not a perfect score, but he's at least getting the people's attention. And I'm not going to do a show until next week on this. The unemployment rates have come down. What has not gone up, though, is the labor participation rate. But as the unemployment rate goes lower and lower, more people will enter the labor force just by the fact that the U3 unemployment rate goes under 4 and is approaching 3. So at some point in time in the very near future, if the economy grows at above 3.5-4%, I hope that the labor participation rate goes back up. What I'm talking about is historically, if you look at the numbers, both under Clinton and Bush, the labor participation rate was about 66-67%. It actually got above 67%. That's good. And that's where we want it. We want it right back there. Now, some, especially Democrats, and some people are saying, well, the reason it's declined is the baby boom generation is retiring. I think some of that decline in the labor participation rate is due to that. But what are they not factoring in? What's the biggest generation today? It's the millennials, bigger than the baby boomers, and a lot of them are not employed. So why it's true that the baby boom generation, over time, is retiring, collecting Social Security, and to the extent they need medical treatment, are getting Medicare benefits, the millennials will be entering and are entering the labor force. So we should go back to at least 66-67%. That's what we need, a rapidly rising economic growth rate for real GDP above the trend of 3.5, ideally 4, 5, 6%. And to the extent that you have that, and that is a growing and beginning to boom economy. And the longer that lasts, and the longer you can sustain that historically much higher growth rate, what happens? The unemployment rate goes down, the labor participation rate goes up. And who's ever in power, in this case, the Republicans, the President Trump, will win re-election. And that's why it's driving big lie media nuts. It's called Trump derangement syndrome. Now, why are they making immigration an issue? I think it's a big political mistake, but I'm applauding them. Keep it up. Why? What's the perception of the American people here? You're more concerned about illegal aliens and their children than you are about American citizens and their children. Now, this was not always the case. Sometime in the early 2000s, the Democratic Party and its people in the news, both in the House and the Senate, they changed their tune. Before, they were definitely for the American worker and would have supported Trump in building the wall. And clearly, they used there's a clip that I've been hearing of Schumer calling them not undocumented workers, but illegal aliens. I've been using that term for years because that technically is exactly what they are. That they got to go home. Now they're very much open borders. They want to encourage people to come here. And the reason is they want to get votes. They believe this is their way to maintain their power and eventually transform this country by turning it into a one-party nation where they're the majority. Not, you're always going to have several parties, but they will be the overwhelming majority because they will give citizenship to all the illegals that are here. And like I said, I don't know the number. Nobody does, but it's somewhere between 30 and 60 million. Let's say it's 45 million. They expect to get about 30 million votes. That means they have to get the vote out. But if they do that, what does that mean? The Democrats win, hands down. But they have to get citizenship. And that's the risk they're running. The American people are wide awake on this. And I have been saying immigration, especially the illegal immigration part, after jobs, the economy, safety and security, immigration is a big concern of the American people because they're concerned about their jobs, not only for themselves, but their children and grandchildren. And the message you hear from the Democratic Party today is not an emphasis on the American worker, but on getting citizenship for the illegal aliens that directly compete with who? American citizens for jobs. It especially impacts blacks, Hispanics, and low-income whites. What that means is, to the extent that the Republicans can get their message out, they can compare and contrast. And the big, beautiful wall or barrier, to the extent that President Trump can get the money, and that's key, I think he's going to run against Congress, especially the Democratic Party. Should he not get the money? And he should do that. I wanted to build a wall, and the Democratic Party refused to give me the funds. Now, I'll quickly say, so did some Republicans. Immigration, I think, will be an issue in this election, the 2020 election, 2022, and on. The American people are sick and tired of this entire situation. They want the illegal invasion stopped, illegal alien invasion stopped, and the people that invaded the country to go home, roll back the invasion. And that means vigorous enforcement of immigration law. And who's having difficulties? The House and the Senate. You need more A and B Republicans in both houses. You also need to get rid of the 60-vote rule. I'm not going to get into that. You can make an argument for and against. I'm tired of that. It's not in the Constitution. This is a Senate rule. That needs to be done away with, so-called nuclear option. What's critical is building that wall first to, I use this analogy and it's important, and this has happened to me. Fortunately, I was home. But let's say you were out, you're at work or shopping, whatever, and you come home and you find your home flooded, a pipe burst, and it's flooded. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to go to the shut-off valve for your entire house and shut the water off. I view that shut-off valve as the barrier or the wall. That's the first thing you're going to do because that stops the leak. In this case, what it stops is the flood or invasion, the surge of day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year for the last 20 to 30 years of illegal aliens coming to the United States, either over the U.S.-Mexican border or coming here legally on a visa, then overstaying their visa. Those are the two major avenues that illegals come to the country and stay. So you need to stop both. And I always emphasize that because, yeah, the largest part of the problem are those coming over the U.S.-Mexican border, but at least a third or more, it's people coming here legally on various types of visa, then overstaying their visa, not living up to the requirement that at a certain date they're supposed to go home, they stay here, and they live here and they work here. So it's a two-pronged problem. Now, why it's primarily a jobs issue, that is the primary magnet that's drawing people to the United States. That's why you have to go after the employers. It's on the books, folks. Do you need to pass a new law? No. I mean, I know Congress is trying to change the immigration situation, but you really don't need to change the law. What you need to do is enforce the law. And that's what needs to be done. What's getting some attention, I'm sure some of you have seen it, this Time cover of Donald Trump looking down at a little child. And that's propaganda, folks. I used to subscribe to Time a long time ago. I'm surprised it's still in business. But it's propaganda. Why? Trump never met this child, first of all. And they're trying to tug at your heart, your emotions. They're trying to manipulate your emotions. And we're learning that this child, oh yeah, he was a child of an illegal alien that broke in the country. The mother brought him. But the father, in his home country, has other kids and he's working. So, and this is apparently the second time she tried to break in. So she's going to be deported, and her kid is going to go with her. This is a small child, a toddler, probably 2 years old. I didn't read the article. I thought it was despicable that Time did this. But if I had to correct every lie that big lie media, the networks, and the newspapers did, I could do that 24/7 and never run out of examples. The American people want their concerns to address, and they're concerned about the illegal alien invasion because it's about jobs, it's about crime, it's about drugs, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's about national security or a possibility of terrorism. So it's going to be a top issue, and the Democratic Party are squarely behind and emphasize we got to give citizenship or a pathway to citizenship or amnesty or legal status to the illegal aliens. And the American people are saying no. First of all, we want the number of legal immigrants reduced from 1.1 million down to no more than 500,000, if not less. The American people are for legal immigration. Their biggest complaint and what they want is enforcement of immigration law because they've seen this invasion in their community. We've seen it in Dallas, but it's been going on now for over 20 years under both Democrat and Republican administrations. And the elites, the party leadership, Democrat and Republican, are pushing this. The American people want it stopped. Because what's happened to the standard of living? For many, many years, their median household income has been flat or declining. It will do that when you have 20 million plus, I think it's closer to 30 to 40, working here. That's a lot in the labor force that are competing with you and me, especially in entry-level jobs. So I think the House is wasting its time. The Senate is wasting its time because it simply doesn't have the votes. You need to get elected. If you're a Republican, you need more Republicans of the right type. If you elect more DNF Republicans, they'll continue to betray you. That's my beef with the Republican Party. I feel betrayed. I really cannot stand the leadership. I know their records, and I wish they would retire. Some will, some won't. Many are leaving. That is somewhat a good sign. I think many of them know the writing is on the wall and they don't want to deal with this. This is an explosive situation because the American people will rebel. They'll put up with this for so long. The opportunity here is for a new political party, and it will happen once the number of independents is consistently over 50%. If you ask people their party affiliation today, the largest party affiliation is independent. It's usually between roughly 42 to 46%. When that is clearly and consistently over 50%, then you'll have people standing up a new political party to challenge both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Will you have it in 2018? No. Will you have it in 2020? Doubtful. Do I know when? No. But more and more people are sick and tired of the lies of both political parties. And that's why they're leaving. And that's why the Democratic Party, about 20 years ago, 18 to 20 years ago, became more interested in illegal aliens than the American worker and American citizens. And the people that see how that are impacted by the invasion, they're the ones that are leaving. Now, if you're not impacted, many of you don't even know the problem. But eventually it catches up to you. And as Donald Trump and others have emphasized, people get killed by illegal aliens. I actually saw no one got killed, and this happened many years ago. But I was driving home at night, stopped at a red light on the far right, and I bit a busy intersection. The light turned green, and someone to the left of me started to go in the intersection, and someone literally hit him, what do they call it, T-boning. They hit him right in the side, spun the car around. Now, they stopped, but it was clear that it was, now, I didn't take license, I didn't run out, but you could see these were illegal aliens. And what did they do? They checked, and then they took off. Yeah, I called the police, and they said that they already, thank you very much. I don't know what ultimately happened, but the lady's car was severely damaged. Fortunately, no one I know of was injured. And I'm willing, since it was after 11, It could have been drunk driving, who knows, or going too fast. But that problem is just one anecdotal information that piles up and piles up, one of the impacts of illegal aliens. But the big impacts are in the jobs area, and the drugs and the crimes. And yes, it enables terrorists to get in this country and become sleepers and at some point in the future become activated. Now, that's a very small minority, but it's happening. Talk to the people on the U.S. Border Patrol. They find documents in the desert, well, not from Mexico, but from Middle Eastern countries. So immigration will be an issue for sure this coming election. And I really believe that Democrats are blowing it, which is good. Let them continue doing what they're doing. I think they're panicking. That's why they're somewhat hysterical. And what they're saying simply doesn't resonate with the people. Now, it will resonate with the true believers, the Kool-Aid drinkers, but if you're relying on that to get elected or reelected, I think you're going to be sadly mistaken. The American people feel that the elites in this country, whether Democrat or Republican, are simply not listening to their concerns, not paying attention. And they've gone around and around on immigration, especially the illegal part of it, under Democrat and Republican administrations, and they're tired of it. What they're demanding is enforcement of immigration law. And if that had been done, we wouldn't be talking about it. But talk is cheap. People want results. And it needs to be three major things have to be done. You have to build a wall to stop the surge or the invasion from continuing. You have to roll back the invasion by deporting the illegal aliens that are here. And you have to go after the employers that are employing them. And you got to insist that all employers use E-Verify. You don't hear that word mentioned. Now, I'm generally not in favor of a national ID card, but in emergency situations, whether you know it or not, your driver's license is your national ID card. It's not the only identification, but it's government, and they check it out. You need employers to have a system where they can verify whether someone truly is a U.S. citizen, and it needs to be mandatory. Now, that's government intervention. Does that mean everyone is going to follow it? No. People don't follow the law. You can pass as many laws as you want, but if people are not going to obey them, what use is it? Right now, if you would just enforce the law, and I mean vigorously, and have been doing it for years, we wouldn't have the problem. Now the problem is so big, we got to build not only the wall. I don't want to spend $25 or $30 billion, but we're spending federally over that for illegal aliens, and locally we're paying for schools, roads, jails, hospitals because of this major influx invasion that continues to go on. The cheaper way to go, simply from a cost-benefit analysis, is what? Build the barrier. Build the wall. You need to patrol the wall, and that's key, but you need to, just like I said, when your apartment is flooded, you got to turn off the water. Well, when the nation is being flooded, and it is, with the illegals, you need to turn that off. But then you got to clean up the mess, and the mess is we have 30 to 60 million illegals that are living and working here. So if you want a rise in the standard of living and raises, deport all the illegals that are here, and they are working here. 20 to 30 million minimum. And what's that going to cost? Let's say we accomplished all this. Donald Trump builds his wall, it's funded, and goes after the illegals that are here. This is something I always emphasize. Now, I know why Trump did this. He emphasizes going after the criminal illegal aliens, MS-13. He goes on and on about that. Ladies and gentlemen, they're all criminal illegal aliens. They have broken several laws just to work here. They're working here. They broke into the country. They got fraudulent documents. They're working here with not having legitimate legal status. And the employers that are employing them are also aiding and abetting this. And the major employers are states, governments, as well as businesses, charities, schools. The American people are true believers in the rule of law, and they want immigration law enforced. That's what they're asking. And our leadership in both parties simply does not want to hear it. And they're more concerned about illegal aliens than the American worker, American citizens. That does not sit well with the American people. And once the American people, not all of them are awake to this, but many are. I think the majority are today. They want it stopped. And they will elect a politician, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else, warts and all, if he makes this his number one issue. And that's why Donald Trump is president today. The Democrats risked everything. And the reason why they're, I told you the reason why they're emphasizing citizenship, a pathway to citizenship or a legal status, amnesty, whatever they want to call it, at the end, two things happen. They become citizens, then they get registered as a Democrat or Republican. Two-thirds to three-fourths is the calculation of the Democrats. Will vote Democrat, and then it's up to the Democratic Party to get out the vote. And they expect, if that happens, and the American people let them have that, that'll transform the country. It will, because then both the House, the Senate, and the President will be controlled by the Democrats, and you'll have more and more big government. And then in sometime between now and 2040, we go belly up. There's a day of reckoning. Oh, that'll transform the country. What's going to happen? You have people today that are dependent on welfare checks, entitlement checks, Social Security, Medicare, and many other programs that are not going to, either they're not going to get a check at all, or they're going to get a check a lot less than they're expecting. And if you have more and more people, illegals in here, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're trying to have a revolution, but I think there's a counter-revolution from the American people. It's not too late, folks. But it's, you got to wake up, and more importantly, you got to stand up a political party. Now, I was just going to touch on this. I don't have much time, but it has come out that in the Department of Justice IG report that foreign actors, think of it as foreign governments, gained access to Hillary Clinton's emails server. In other words, to the extent that there was classified information, documents on the server, one or more foreign governments has that. Now, I'm saying that because that's not what Comey, he hedged it a little. Ladies and gentlemen, Hillary Clinton needs to be prosecuted, and the American people are demanding it because they don't like, they believe in the rule of law, and they don't believe anyone is above the law, and the FBI and the Department of Justice were instrumental in treating Hillary Clinton differently. If she were anybody else, she should have been prosecuted, a grand jury impaneled, and she would have been indicted and prosecuted and most likely found guilty. There's so much evidence. That's what the American people want, and by God, I'm not seeing any attempt by this Republican administration and going after her. They should. They also need to go after all the FBI and Department of Justice employees and the White House employees that were involved in this criminal conspiracy. And we're also learning that the higher-ups, the deputy director, wanted what are called 302s, witness statements changed. That's how corrupt they are. If they don't go after and correct the situation, the American people have already lost. I've lost confidence in the FBI and Department of Justice. It's a mess. It's been corrupted, and it needs to be fixed. But if you're just going to go after the government employees, the bureaucrats, and not the people involved in this conspiracy that led the conspiracy, and it starts with the former president of the United States, the people that directly reported to him, as well as the attorney general and the head of the FBI, if you're not going to go after them, this is not going to sit well with at all with the American people, and that could endanger President Trump's efforts to be reelected. I got the signal. I got to wrap it up. You're going to hear more on both of these stories. This is a continuing story. I'm frankly tired of it because I want results, and I'm not getting results. I'm getting excuses, explanations, spin. That's not going to satisfy the American people. It doesn't satisfy me. The elites are in trouble. Their incompetence and corruption is being revealed, and it's not sitting well with the American people. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, Freedom First, broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio, podcasted by ProcPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.